Amen. While you remain standing, I would like us together to read our main scripture for today, coming from Genesis chapter, is it 4, 8 and 9. Let us read this together. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto him, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? May the Lord use this portion of his scripture for the edification of our souls this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of this message this morning is, Am I my brother's keeper? And this message is designed to remind you and I that we are not an island into ourselves. And like Joshua, we saw Sunday, he told the people, you cannot serve God. The same way, if you think you are by yourself, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. You are part of a body. You are a branch of a tree. You just cannot survive by yourself. You don't carry the root. So that's what this message is designed to teach us this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:33, this is Paul talking. He says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, we are the product of our environment. You might be a good person, but if your environment is not good, that may affect you. You find good kids among, you know, in bad environment, you know, you find them, but you know, it's risky. The just to give you an example, you remember the second inauguration of President Obama, that young girl who came, and then I think a week after she gets shot in Chicago. You remember that? During that time, they gave a report, not report. There was a program showing what they have going on in South Chicago. They have a program there where they will take some qualified kids, depends what their grade at school and what they're doing. They take them from South Chicago and they put them in another environment. So they take them away from mom and dad and brothers and everything. They put them in another environment. Most of them graduate from school. Most of them become somebody. And then when they look back where they came from, their siblings, their friends, don't graduate school and get pregnant, be in gang. And somebody asks a question. Then instead of taking them out of the environment, why don't we change the environment? But you know, those people who study, who know, they say, no, it doesn't happen that easy. You just cannot change the environment that easy. It takes time. So while slowly doing it, you have to take them out. Your environment counts a lot. So you are connected. You and I, we are connected in a body. And if this body is not properly working, maybe you're a good person, but you might be corrupted. So it's important to know the body you are connected into and to make sure it works properly so we don't become a product that we would not want to. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. We're not going to read all of them because we are familiar. with this passage of scripture. But if you go yourself and read it, Ephesians chapter 4, 1:16, but verse 4, the Bible says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 11, it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Keep that in mind. We have all these for these reason. And he says, till we come unto in the unity of the faith. Verse 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the body. From whom? From the head. The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is what a church is like. It's a body with many members. Obviously, it says Christ is the head. So the framework of a church, let's say our church, for example, we have obviously Jesus being the chief, being the pastor. And then we have under pastors, under shepherds, what is called the elders, what we call the pastors. Okay. Now the pastors are responsible to care for the flock. Let's say we have a congregation of 200. Let's say we have four pastors here. When you think about what it takes to care for souls, do you think four pastors can actually care for every single soul the way a soul is supposed to be cared for? It's like you have the president, he's the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, but they have a structure that everybody is taken care of. We get paid on time. We have medical stuff taken care of, except for the VA right now, I think there is issue, but at least we have what we need. But they have a structure. So it's the same thing for the church. The pastors, they have leaders working under them. This is what we call today, the community group leaders. And you have the community groups, small groups, and to work with all the congregations. So this is the structure. The structure is there to make sure the body is connected. Let's say somebody will not come to church. Like this morning, I received a text. Someone said that he will not come to church, and I knew that before. I would say, no, the reason you're not coming, I don't agree with it. I want you to be in church, but at least I'm not panicked because I don't see somebody in church because I know. So it's the same way. There are other people who are not in church this morning. I don't know. Pastor Payne doesn't know. Pastor Taylor doesn't know. Somebody just may be sick, may be lazy, may be tired, whatever it is, but some of us don't know. And guess what? We may not know until that person come back in. So I didn't see you for 3 weeks. Is that the way it's supposed to be? No. Is it possible for one of your finger missing and you don't pay attention to, you don't see it? It's like it's part of your body. It's connected. So the structure is to make sure if somebody did not make it to church for whatever reason, there will be a call to say, hey, we miss you today. What's going on? what went wrong. Or I have to, you're going to share what took place in church. You're going to share the message. Let's say somebody was sick. Somebody had somebody sick. Somebody had an emergency. We know, you know, this person will feel part of a body. Somebody will feel like, wow, I'm connected. So that's what it is. The Bible talks in Hebrews 10, 19 to 25, but I'm just reading 24 and 25. The writer of Hebrews says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And in Ecclesiastes 9:4, 9, 12, it says, two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Isn't that important? Now, I'd like, if you have the first slide, if you have it, I'd like to show you a couple or three slides. Look at this. What do we have in this side here? With skeleton, what is it? What, yeah? The one, yeah. The one with the skeleton, what is it? Okay, what about the one without skeleton? This is dirt. Now, when you put frame into it, you organize it, it looks like this. It looks like something. But it doesn't just happen. Of course, God just did what he did. But there, it's like, you remember when computers started, they have DOS, and you had to remember all those codes. And you remember all that? Oh, you're not old enough, I don't think. Really. And then, boom, Windows came, and then you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You think you just click a window. But no, there are many, many, many things behind that. So when you see this skeleton, that's what it is. So when you by yourself, that's all you are, just dirt. Would you like somebody to call you dirt? But when you are part of a body, you are somewhere in there. And it makes sense. And if you want not to be part of the body and stay, be dirt. And the second one show you more organized. You are somewhere there. And when you go to the third one, it gets more complicated. You are somewhere. And even when you see the brain, the heart, there are so many wires, so many connections. The brain has different parts. So you are somewhere. If you are connected to the body, you are somewhere. And you have to function. Because you know, if we talk about toes, if your toes hurt, and you have to go to the hospital. Your ear, your eyes, your foot, whatever it is, you have to go to the hospital. Can the rest of the body say, well, sorry, you have to go by yourself? If one hurts, we all hurt. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. And that's what the body is designed to do. Now, let's go now to, am I my brother's keeper? It's come from this famous story, Cain and Abel, two brothers. The older killed the younger. There is a picture here that doesn't look good. The older really is supposed to protect the younger. That's natural. And he killed him because of jealousy. And God came to him and says, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Is he his brother's keeper? What does it mean to be a keeper? What does it mean to keep? To keep, we can say to provide, to protect, to guard, to tend, to care for, to take care of, to have the care, the charge, the custody. But the Bible talks, we don't have the scripture up there, but in Jude 11, talks about many are going the way of Cain. Many are going the way of Cain, unaware. You may not know it, I may not know it, but many of us are going the way of Cain. His way was, I don't care. His way was, I don't care, I only care for myself. That's going the way of Cain. I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. I want no responsibility for nobody and for nothing. You keep yourself, I keep myself, and we see in heaven. I think even human law, I don't know if we have it in the U.S., so at least some state must have it. If you see a crime and you witness it, don't you supposed to call? Or if you see something about to happen, and if you don't you have certain responsibility? At least moral responsibility. You see something happen or about to happen, and you don't make a call, you don't care, you just turn your way and go, wouldn't you feel part of that crime? That's what happened. Going the way of Cain, it's like you don't care. We do not care what we say, how we say. It's like a force. When I say force, for many of us, we don't care how we dress and where we go, when we go. I mean, we just don't care. We are in an island by ourselves. We're not part of a body, and we want to live. No one can tell us anything. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Actually, if we have the Spirit of God in us, you will not feel that free in everything you do or say or think. Or somehow, if you have the Spirit of God in you, before you put that dress, that pants, that shirt, whatever, there will be something pop in your mind. Before you take that trip, before whatever it is, just think about it. there will be something say, is this the right thing or is it? And if it's not, you will still want to do it. Go ahead and do it, but you will not enjoy it. You see what I'm saying? You will sin, you will do things contrary, but something deep inside of you will be talking to you and you just cannot enjoy it. That's what the Spirit of God in you will do to you. It's like, for one example, and I always take this example, some brothers and sisters think I am an encouragement. And I usually tell them in Haiti, especially, no, you are an encouragement to me. You keep me alive. You keep me living for God. Because every time I feel discouraged, every time I feel like quitting, and I think about you, I say, my goodness, what that will do to you, then I have to stay up. You know, it's like a husband who cares for wife and kids, and they might be scared. Like, I'm afraid of snake, for example. Any creeping creature, I don't like. But if I'm with Mamie, or if I would be with my wife, and then I see a snake, I have to appear brave somehow. But for my wife, I wouldn't appear brave because she already knows. And she. But you have to do something. You cannot just go ahead, close your eyes and do it. So if you see somebody in church and they just decide to leave church and quit, this is going the way of Cain. I don't care. Because you believing, you doing whatever affects somebody else. It does. So you cannot just do it any way you want to. And you know, it's sad, but it can be the truth. If you are not the keeper, you might be the murderer. If you're not the keeper, you might be the murderer. We have a young girl in our church in Haiti who passed a few years ago. I remember Pastor Wilson, myself, and a group of people, we went to Haiti. And that girl asked me, begged me to spend some time with her. She needed to talk to me. I said yes. And I kept that in my mind. I knew she was serious about it. She said, please. I didn't make time to talk to her. I was leaving and it bothered me. I didn't make time to talk to her. But I had in my mind, I'm going back right away to talk to her. I'm going, taking another trip, because that trip was so busy. Before I had the chance to go back, within 2, 3, 4 weeks, she died. You know, I feel like I killed her. When I come to know what she was going through, and when I understand why she wanted to talk to me, all she needed is somebody who would listen to her. And she knew I would listen to her and I would comfort her. She didn't find that. All she found was people to judge her, people to, you know. I feel bad. And this is what happened when you're going that way. You should feel, my goodness, maybe if I did this, my brother would not be dead. Or if I did this, if I did that. 1 John 4:20 to 21. Oh, we all say we love God. It's easy. But John says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Now, you find many people say, I don't hate in anyone. Or I don't hate in anybody. I mean, well, you'll find somebody to say, I hate so-and-so. But it's not. We don't clearly tell people we hate them. But If you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you do what you don't supposed to do to somebody, you hate them. When you don't care for somebody, you do not care for your brothers and sisters, you hate them because you don't care about their lives. You don't care about their souls. You hate them. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Oh, you don't see God. It's easy to say, oh, I love God, and no one can see how much you love God. And this commandment have we from him, take that he that loveth God love his brothers also. If you say you love God, let me see it by how you love your brothers. We serve God by serving his people. We serve God by serving his children. That's how we serve God. Don't be telling people you are God's servant because you pray every day at home or you, whatever you do, you serve God by serving his people, by serving his children. In case you don't know, you know God came to Cain and he asked him about his brother. One day or another, God will ask you this question too. One way or another, one day or another. Because when you take this example in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, which you know, if you don't know the scripture, you can go it for yourself. But the Bible says, that was Christ himself talking. He says, I was in anger and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. He said all these things. And they said, when did we see you? When did we do all that? And the king shall answer and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And of course, he went back to the goat and he said, you did not do those things unto me. And they said, well, that's not fair. We never seen you. We were not even born. It was over 2,000 years ago when you died. When you live, and he says, no. As long as you did not do these things to the least of my brethren, you didn't do it unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous shall go into eternal life. This is very important, conclusion I'm making here. Pay attention to the question God asks. It says, where is thy brother? Thy brother. He didn't say, where is thy protege? Thy brother. Now, do you know God needed an answer? He didn't know. He's asking to be informed. Do you? He knew what happened, right? Now, when Cain asked him, am I my brother's keeper? Do you think he needed to know whether he was or not? They all knew what's going on. But I want you to pay close attention to this because I think there is a very important point here. The difference between a brother and a keeper. You have to be a brother first. If you are just a keeper, you're not a brother. I don't think it will go well. Because you can do all those things, but without love, you can do all those things because you have to. You can do all those things because the church structure puts you into it, but your heart is not in it. You have to be a brother first. I have a brother, a sister here who will not agree with me, but I know she doesn't mean it. She would say, I want a man with money. And I know she lies. Give a woman a man with money and give her a man who would love her and care for her, which one she will pick? Love and care for? Somebody would say no, but I know every woman at least should consider the love, the care before the money. If you just want the money, go ahead, but you don't have a life with all the money. So it's the same thing. If you have somebody keeping you, you keeping somebody, giving all the care, the protection, but there is no love in it, brotherhood implies love. Has to. Let brotherly love continue, the Bible says. And the last scripture I want you to go with me is in Luke, the story that is in Luke 10, 25 to 37. It's a story what we call the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Isn't that an important question? You would want an answer. You would want to hear the answer for it. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is written in the law? What do you read in it? And he answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy might and thy neighbor as thyself. That's it. That's all I need to go to eternal life. You say, well, what about all the baptism? What about all the repentance? What about it? If you love God with all of these, you're going to do everything else. And if you love your brother as yourself, you're not going to do anything to hurt your brother. In another passage, Jesus talked about the first commandment and the second. They both go together. You cannot do one. They are two sides of one coin. But he continued to say, verse 29. Well, obviously, verse 28, Jesus said, do this and thou shalt live. Verse 29, he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And you can ask this question this morning, who is my brother? And I don't want you to live here to think your brother is those who are in Christian fellowship with you. You can look at it this way. But when you look at the picture in Matthew 25, it's way larger than this. And Jesus is explaining. He talked to him about the story. A certain man, verse 30, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which strapped him of his raiment and wounded him. And departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. let's say, pastor passing by. And when the pastor saw him, he passed by on the other side. That's the pastor. The pastor said, oh, not me. Let me go the way of Cain. And then a Levite would say one of the leaders, who works with the pastor, you know, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. And now, let me go the way of Cain. But a certain Samaritan, you know, the Samaritan, let's say, we would say the nastiest people we don't like in church. People we think they are sinners, they should not even come to our church. The pastor went by, a leader went by, but now we have the worst sinner in town passing by. That's the way to look at it. The worst sinner was passing by. As he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, pay attention to this. What happened? He had compassion. That's a key word. He had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever that spendeth more, when I come again, I will repay. Now Jesus is about to answer the question after the story. Who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? Jesus said, well, okay, now what do you think? Which one of those three would you consider being the neighbor, being the brother of the slain man? What do you think? This worst sinner, right? Yeah, he answered, he said, he that should mercy on him. He that should mercy on him. That's the brother. That's the neighbor. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do the same. My prayer for you and I today is living here and knowing you are not an island unto yourself. You are connected to a body, and there is a frame in the church to structure that should be working, that we stay connected. If you want to be dirt, that's all you want to be, stay out of the body. But if you want to be useful and look good, be part of the body. God bless you.